kingship.
There's one from Yehuda and one from Yosef. The Navi and Sefer Melachim describes how the Malucha splits up into Malchus Yehuda, with the Melech from Yehuda, and Malchus Yisrael, with the Melech from Ephraim. That's from Yosef. There's Mashiach ben David, and there's Mashiach ben Yosef. Two lines of kingship. Why were Yehuda and Yosef zochet to have Malucha come from them? The Torah, in this week's parasha, hints to the Midah, which I believe is the key Midah that Yehuda and Yosef both displayed, and that's what made them worthy of leadership. After Mechiras Yosef, the Pasuk says that Yehuda separated from his brothers. Vayera Yehuda me'eis Echav. And Rashi says, what does this mean? Sharidu Echav migdulaso. That the Shvatim demoted Yehuda, so to speak. They took away his position of leadership when they saw the Yaakov Avinu's tsar. They saw his pain over the Mechir. And the Pesukim described that Yehuda went off on his own and he built a family. He had challenges, different troubles with his children. A long story that we're all familiar with. And then there's the Maisa with Tamar. And Yehuda says, Sodka mimeni, and Tamar is saved. What does this mean? So Rashi says, Sodka mimeni, the Poshep Shad is that Yehuda was admitting, he was saying that Tamar is correct, she's righteous, that I'm the father of the children, that she's really correct, she's really right. But Rashi quotes from Chazal a different medrash, different kanon, that Chazal say, Yotza baskal va'omra mimeni hoyu hadvar. That Abascal came out and said, Kaviyochol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying that this came from me. Because Tamar was Tznua B'Veis Chamiya, because Tamar had an extra Tznia, she was extremely modest in Yehuda's home. So I was Zocha that Melochim should come from Tamar. And I was also Gozer that Melochim should come from Shevet Yehuda. Mishevet Yehuda Gazarti Lahamid Melochim B'Yisra. So first glance, these are two different statements. That Sodka Mimeni Arda means Yehuda admitted that Tamar was right. And then Chazal aired that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol was saying, Mimeni, that I was Gozer, that Melachim should come from Shevet Yehuda. But perhaps we can put the two Pshatim together. Maybe what Chazal are saying is that Sotka Mimeni itself, that statement was what made Yehuda worthy of becoming a Melech, of having Melucha come from his descendants. What is it about that statement that made Yehuda be Zocha to Malchus? So at first glance, you'd think that it's because he admitted his fault, Sotka Mimeni, he admitted his mistake, that he accused Tamar of something, and really she was right and he was wrong. And someone who's willing to admit his faults and his mistakes is worthy of being a king, he's worthy of being a leader. But I think there's something deeper here. Sotka Mimeni not only demonstrated that Yehuda was willing to admit his mistake, but he had the ability to sacrifice his own interests for someone else. We know Rashi says that Tamar told Yehuda, I'm not going to reveal what you did. I'm not going to tell anyone. It's up to you. It's up to you. You can do what you want. What did Yehuda do? He stepped up to the plate. He sacrificed his own reputation to save Tamar and the children. That's the midah that made him worthy of being a melech. Because he showed that he was capable of thinking of other people. He wasn't wrapped up in himself. Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar in this week's parsha makes the famous statement that ein melech below am, that there can't be a king without a people, without subjects. What does that mean? What that statement really is telling us is that melucha is not about self-promotion. It's not about pushing oneself ahead. It's about the am. It's all about the people. It's about serving the people. It's about sacrificing for the people. It's about trying to fulfill the needs of the people. That's what malchus is about. It's not an opportunity for a person to push himself ahead. Yehuda demonstrated this to me, that he was able to sacrifice his own interests for the sake of someone else. He was willing to think about someone else, and that's why he was zocher that Malchus should come from his descendants. Yosef also demonstrated this to me, the ability to look beyond himself and to think of other people. We know that Yosef was sold into slavery, and then ultimately he comes to the Beis HaSoar, he's jailed as well, and the Sar Mashkim and the Sar Ofen come to the Beis HaSoar, and they have their dreams, and Yosef interprets the dreams, and the Sar Mashkim tells the story to Paro, and the rest is history, as they say. And we know the whole story. But how did it all begin? How did Yosef interpret the dreams? Why did the Sar Mashkim tell Yosef his dream? So the Pasuk says that the next morning, Yosef saw the two officers, Vayar Osam Vehinam Zoafen, he saw that they were despondent, they were They were upset about something. And he said to them, Madu apnechem ro'im hayom? Why do you look so sad? Yosef took the situation into account. He saw that something was wrong. And he was concerned about the people who were there in the jail with him. He was concerned about their welfare. And he asked them, why are things bad? Yosef certainly had other things on his mind. But he wasn't oblivious to his surroundings. He wasn't living in his own world. He was looking out for the people around him. And that's the mark of a true leader. We find later, next week's parasha in Parashas Miketz, after he becomes Mishne LeMelech, second to only Paro, so the Pasuk says that he has two children before the Ra'av, Yosef Yulad Shnei Bonim B'Terem Tovo Shnasa Rav. Before the Ra'av came, Menashe and Ephraim were born. The Gemara in Tainus Adaf Yud Aleph says that from here we learn that a person is not allowed to be Mishamish Mikaso B'Shnei Ravim. A person is not allowed to engage in normal married life when it's a time of hunger in the world. Why is that? Rashi says, because it's appropriate for a person to be Noeg B'Tsar when the world is B'Tsar. The world is B'Tsar, so a person has to act as well with a sense of Tsar, to be Mishtatef with the Tsar of the Tzibur. Now we know Yosef wasn't affected by the Ra'av at all. He was in the palace, he had plenty to eat. He wasn't affected by the hunger. But he wanted to be Mishtatef with the Tsar of the rest of the world. According to Tosis and the Gemara there, it's not a real Isser anyway. It was just a Midas Chasidus. And Yosef wanted to act according to that Midas Chasidus, even though he wasn't affected by the Ra'av Bichlal. Even after Yosef assumed the position of leadership, he was still in tune with his people. He was sensitive to their challenges and their needs. And that's why he wanted to be Mishtatef with the Tzar Tzibur. And maybe, perhaps, that's why he was zocheh to his position of leadership in the first place. Because he had that midah, that he cared about others. He wasn't living in his own world. He was sensitive to the people around him. And someone who's sensitive to the people around him deserves to be a leader. We live in a world where, unfortunately, people think that leadership is no longer about public service. It's about self-promotion, advancing one's own career, securing one's place in history. But it's a terrible mistake. Because a true leader, not just a head of state, but any person in a leadership role, whether it's manager of a company, or a board member of a yeshiva, or a principal, or a gabbai in shul, or even a parent is a leader in his or her family. Great leaders, true gedolim, realize that leadership is not about self-promotion. It's about sacrificing for others. It's about empowering those around you, giving them the opportunity to shine, to realize their strengths and their talents. The first step to leadership is learning to think about other people. This was the midah that both Yehuda and Yosef demonstrated, and that proved that they were both worthy of malchus. Shabbos.